Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ohio Exopolitics. I am your host, Mark Snyder. It is 5 p.m. Eastern on April the 8th, 2020. The show is going to begin with some discussion about smoking. And this comes from Contact Report 390. And if you listen to this show before, you know that the purpose of this program is to share the teachings of Edward Albert Meyer, to promote those teachings, to share a little understanding and maybe add a little information that can be helpful to your life. So I'm going to pick up in this discussion between Billy and Ta. Ta being one of the Playar and one of the extraterrestrials that Billy has had contacts with. And Billy says, "Then I'd like to ask you something about smoking. If I understand you correctly lately, well, over hundreds of thousands of humans worldwide die as a result of smoking, while at the same time, more than half of that number die from passive smoking. So what is passive smoking? I believe passive smoking is just people that are nearby smokers, maybe in the same room, same smoky room or whatever. Is that correct? Is that correct? And what data is available on this for Switzerland? Do you know something about it?" Ta says, "You heard me right. The ratio of 100% smokers to passive smokers is 53.06 percentage on average. So 100 smokers dead equals 53.06 non-smokers dead. But what is the result in Switzerland? The annual number of both groups varies." Todd, this is Todd speaking. "But it can be said that during 1 year in Switzerland, more than 8,000 humans die as direct smokers, while more than 4,000 humans die as passive smokers. So I never realized that. Not only does smoking end up killing the smoker a lot of times, but it'll also kill those people that are around them the most, probably their loved ones." So Billy says, "In total, more than 12,000 humans a year. And on top of that, the government is reaching out its hand in complete idiocy, earning many millions more from all those who die from direct or indirect smoking. Paradoxically, the Swiss Confederation spends millions of francs annually on elaborate anti-smoking campaigns in order to criminally promote tobacco cultivation with the taxpayers' money and horrendous subsidies. But that's not all. Criminally, the state also supports the tobacco industry and smoking among the population. Then the state also taxes the products of the tobacco industry. The tobacco products, again, which earns the federal government millions upon millions. But that is not enough, because to top it all off, there's also the hammer of the fact that the buyers of tobacco products are still being ripped off with something called VAT, which I don't know what that is, which in turn earns the federal government hundreds of millions or even billions. This is the way the government does business, not only here in Switzerland, but everywhere in the world. The population is cheated by the state and ripped off with taxes and other levies and is sucked to the blood. But this is still not the end of the sad song, because in the end, the governments drive their states into mountains of debt that amount to hundreds of billions or even trillions. Governments are completely incapable of managing debt-free budget, and on the other hand, they are so irresponsible in this regard, as in their other relationships, that they don't give a damn about anything that will become the state and the humans in the future. All that matters to them is the big mouth, horrendous pay, and asset scaling which enables them to live a life of joy and glory, while the ordinary citizen who finances everything with horrendous taxes is consigned to indifference and can die miserably if he can no longer work or has become too old and weak. Wow. Okay. Just to quickly recap there, smoking kills not only the smokers, but if there is 1,000 or 100 smokers that die from smoking, there'll be over 50 that don't smoke that will die because they were affected by the smoke of the smoker. Ah, ghastly. That is Contact Report 390. Amazing information and a little bit disturbing on top of everything else that's going on with the coronavirus and everything that relates to all that. You know, as you know, Billy's got a lot of books. He's got Contact Reports. The amount of writing that this guy has done is totally unbelievable. And the information is just, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And it's so applicable to your life. So it's so down to earth and useful. I'm going to read a little bit from Chapter 8 of the Talmud of Emmanuel. And a lot of this information is new to me, just like the stuff I just read you. So this is Emmanuel in the house of Petrus. And who is Emmanuel? Well, when Billy was contacted by Sfaf in the 40s, 1943, the two would go up in Sfaf's ship. And they would have these discussions. And one of the things that Sfaf told Billy is that Billy had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad in his predecessor lives. Those were some examples of his Vorgängers, as it's called in the German, a predecessor personality. Well, Billy has some very other interesting predecessor personalities. The Meyer information says the person that we call Jesus was never called Jesus in his life. And I believe that now that I've totally researched that. His name was Emmanuel. And his teaching is so different, very different from what's in the Bible. And we do have a copy of the Talmud of Emmanuel with a lot of which is based on an ancient script by a guy named Judas Iscariot. So we have an idea, a much better idea of what was actually taught and what was not handed down. So the religions have lost most of the important information, but let me read this. This is Emmanuel and the House of Petrus. And Emmanuel came to Petrus's house and saw his allied mother-in-law, mother-in-law, who was bedridden and had a fever. He touched her hand and held it long and then gave her a special herbal potion. And soon the fever abated and left her. And after some time, she stood up and gave thanks to him. After which Emmanuel sat at the table and took food and drink to himself. As everything was presented to him, after which he announced the teaching of the prophets. In the evening, however, they brought to him two possessed ones, drunken, intoxicated by toxic fruits, and befallen by restlessness. And he calmed the evil spirits' delusional thoughts. Notice they weren't really possessed with evil spirits. They had delusional thoughts. Through his word intervening, which produced a kind of hypnosis in the spirit and the consciousness, he also gave them an herbal potion. Then they spewed, threw up, and vomited, and calmed down. In this case, the two men, in the case of the two men, it did not concern a possession in the sense of a psychophysical illness. So therefore, the two had no convulsions. Rather, they merely suffered from delusional thoughts. See, everything comes from the thoughts. That is, they suffer from delusional thoughts. That is from delusions caused by toxic fruits. So they had eaten some toxic fruits, by which they were possessed by a restlessness befallen to them. The fruits which they had eaten contained narcotics, by which they were intoxicated and in a restless, and they also had delusions. The traditionality, the traditionally mentioned possession, is based on psychophysical forms that cause convulsions and on delusional constructions, delusional thoughts, and hallucinations, which are connected with corresponding feelings. So whenever you hear about demon possession, you're hearing about delusional thoughts. And in this case, these delusional thoughts came about from narcotics. And so there were hallucinations and other things. These delusional thoughts in the sufferers were suggestively driven out or resolved by Emmanuel, namely by strongly persuading them and giving them a calming herbal potion. The healing of the possessed ones was therefore not on a suggestive or hypnotic persuasion instillment in those suffering with convulsions and pronounced psychophysical state of agitation. Through the suggestive appeal to reason and the stimulating of consciousness-based powers, and their use of this for the self-healing of the possessed ones, as well as through a calming herbal potion, the psychophysical state of agitation of the sufferers declined and cleared up to a large extent. At the same time, the suggestive or hypnotic consciousness-based will alone is the decisive factor to awaken the rationality in the possessed one. This is very interesting because if you read a little bit more of this and you read some of the accounts before this account and then after this account, it talks about this suggestive or hypnotic kind of thinking and talking that Emmanuel did here. So this thinking, this speech, awakened the rationality in the possessed one. You notice Emmanuel is just awakening the rationality in this individual. And to create and use the self-suggestive and self-hypnotic energies and powers. That is to generate the self-healing powers and bring them to application. So this hypnotic, suggestive thinking helps bring out the self-healing powers in the person. In addition, the essential knowledge and ability, as well as essential medical power of suggesting and hypnosis, hypnotizing a person, are necessary. And even if it is said in the present time, for this case, that faith can move mountains, then what is meant by this are the knowledge and the wisdom, as well as the ability by which those things which human wants to realize can become possible and can become realized. By this is meant the thought and the feeling-based certainty, which has nothing to do with a belief in God. So they're talking about the might of the thoughts here to bring about healing. The person that's the quote-unquote healer is just using suggestion. He's speaking in an almost hypnotic way, suggesting certain things to the person, appealing to their rationality. And then that person, on the other hand, is using their own self-healing through their own thinking. And thus, he made, through long and deep speaking, suggestive influencing, and much interpretation, explanation, also a sick man who had become sunken in painful anxiety on account of his illness, healthy from his thoughts, which were tormenting him. So Emmanuel, through this long, suggestive explanation, helped this man who was in anxiety, mostly because of thoughts that were tormenting him. So, you know, we need to think in a neutral, positive, equalized, balanced way. Because as soon as we start to think negative, or just if we start thinking crazy, wildly positive, it's also not good, because either way, we're out of that harmonious balance, and if it continues. If we had, as it's in that one passage, it goes, the maintenance of wrong thoughts and views creates deep grooves in the consciousness, which must be made to disappear. So if you continue to think in these negative ways, you'll get trapped in a vicious cycle of thinking. It becomes habitual, just like smoking, and you do it over and over again. And you can actually hurt your health that way. So most of the time, it says, what does it say? There's another verse in my thoughts that says, suffering is usually an effect of some form of wrong thinking. And that's a good thing to remember, that suffering is an effect of some form of wrong thinking. So it's the power of our thoughts are incredible for both good and bad. So we don't want to allow our thoughts to drift, because if we do that, then the habitual thinking kicks in. And usually the habitual thinking is negative. Let me continue here about the suggestive thinking here. It says, the fundamental term suggestion comes from the Latin sugere, that was a guess on the pronunciation, which besides bring into or put in means instill. This putting in or instilling occurs without the human being who is being suggestively worked on becoming aware of this. Thus, through suggestion, human beings can be unconsciously influenced in such a wise that they can free themselves. For example, from a possession. So there's really no demon possession. People become possessed by wrong thinking. And they get, they're slaves to it, and they can't escape from it. In fact, well, I don't know if I should go there or not, but sometimes people that are enslaved by wrong thinking will turn on you if you try to help them, even though they're being tormented by the wrong thinking, obviously tormented. From a possession, not so, these people aren't possessed by demons, they're possessed by wrong, unhealthy thoughts, usually, at some level. And then after that, their behavior becomes out of control. That is from a psychophysical state of agitation. Human beings who are suggestively treated, that is, with whom a persuasion or an instillment occurs in one way or another, can also be influenced in their opinions, and thus also in their behaviors, etc., so extensively that within them only the will of a suggesting person is complied with. This means that even those supposedly possessed by evil spirits or the devil, etc., who truly suffer from psychophysical states of agitation. I'm not saying that these people aren't suffering, believe me, just because they're not possessed by demons. They are still suffering, as well as from delusions, can be freed from their suffering and through competently carried out suggestion or hypnosis. It makes me think of the people that they intentionally take these herbs. You know, they go to South America somewhere and talk to some shaman who makes up this herbal potion, and they drink it, and then they usually throw up horribly, and then they have this wild experience that's just a delusion. It's just a delusion caused by the thing they took, you know, the drugs, the herbs. And well, now what's interesting though is these people, many people have the same kind of delusion, and very similar with like certain characters involved in the delusion. One way you could explain that is that humanity is what the Meyer Information calls a we form. And even though we may not know each other, consciously know each other, subconsciously, we're all connected because we're kind of everything in creation is kind of one anyway. But human beings, we influence each other in ways that we don't even know. And so we do it subconsciously, especially if you live in the city, which I suggest you do not live in the city. And there's a passage in another contact report that talks about the wrong thinking of those around you in the city that can literally penetrate into your consciousness. So this does not mean, however, that this is possible in every case and that suggestion or actual hypnosis is a universal remedy. But on the whole, these can be of great use and have a great healing effect in multifarious cases of suffering. And that makes perfect sense, because suffering is usually an effect of some form of wrong thinking. And incidents of suffering in the life are indicators that the law of harmony has been broken and disregarded. So always, always look at your thoughts and try to evaluate them. So it came to pass that what was said through the prophet Isaiah, would be fulfilled, who spoke, "He has brought us the new teaching of knowledge and the teaching of the prophets, and has taken human beings' weakness upon himself. And he has healed the sick through instilling suggestive words of instruction and with herbs." Okay, that's the main gist of what I wanted to talk about in terms of healing. So it deals with a kind of suggestive thinking on the part of the healer, and kind of a hypnosis, and it's the thinking of the person that is getting healed, that heals the individual. So anyway, I wanted to, I don't know if I can find it in a timely manner, but maybe I will jump to that one passage I was talking about that talks about our thoughts and how we can be affected by thoughts of other people. Particularly, it's contact report 39, and this is line 81/82, and it talks about negative thoughts in the cities. And this is very apropos now with this coronavirus, which I think has been being blown out of proportion to a great extent. But let's continue here. Contact report 39, line 81, 82. Negative thought in the cities. The larger the gathering of human beings are, such as in the cities, the lower the average age falls, because exactly at such places, immeasurable thought energies, in terms of wrong lifestyles, are released and unconsciously penetrate into fellow human beings. But also animals and many materials are impaired by these destructive forces of human irrationality, and thus are left to an early destruction, like iron. For example, which normally never rusts as quickly as what is currently the case on Earth, and which only does so because the thought-based and idea-based produced progressions are destroying the atmosphere and the environment. Contact Report 39, line 81 and 82. I think I have those. I may not have the line number correct. Or there may be this particular contact report is divided into two sections. Oh, this is very interesting too. It talks about the Hyperboreans, which is a group of extraterrestrials that lived in a city embedded within Mount Shasta in Northern California. And there's some interesting photographs from time to time, these golden spheres that come in and out of the mountain sometimes. I don't know if these extraterrestrials are still there, but it's very fascinating. Gosh, we're down to 3 minutes. We're running out of time. Well, that's why we do these shows on a regular basis, because... Okay. Just a few minutes here left. The most dangerous storehouses of wrong, humanly produced thought-swinging wave powers, however, are precious metals, precious stones and crystals, which are often accumulated these energies in deadly doses. Wow. Thus, an Earth human being may make him or herself guilty in the death of a fellow human being, whether consciously or unconsciously, when they cultivate and maintain thoughts and feelings in a negatively degenerated form, and thereby release uncontrollable destructive powers. If the Earth human wants to think and evolve correctly, in accordance with the creation, then he or she may never move his or her thought forms in a degenerated negative path, nor in a degenerated positive path, for both are degeneracies that can produce very bad and negative consequences. Thus, they are contrary to creation. Right thinking and evolving express themselves through a well-balanced and neutral, wise thinking, and through right thoughts and right feelings, which then generate and send out identical forces, through which life is produced and maintained, and an evolution that is truly appropriate for creation is followed. Well, wow. Again, time goes quickly sometimes during these shows. I'm glad people are listening to these, and people are also benefiting from this information. I know I sure do, and I'm very thankful. We'll be back in touch soon. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics, and I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we've been studying the writings of Edward Albert Meyer, known as Billy Meyer. We'll see you later. Have a good day.